everybody, welcome to episode 151 of For the Love of Guns. Today's going to be a solo show because, well, life happened, and it's been happening for the past few weeks. It's going to happen for at least another week, but you got me. So let's talk. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 151 of For the Love of Guns. Today, well, it's going to be a solo show. Life happened to me over the past couple of weeks. It's been really kind of the past year has been rough, but the past couple of weeks are really, really hit home. So it wasn't fair to have really anybody else on. So today, we're just going to talk about gun building. But before we talk about that, it's time to talk about a couple of companies that really helped me bring you content that they could really use your help. And by helping them, you're helping yourself by helping me bring you content. So it's a win-win-win. First company is Falco Holsters. Look, you've been hearing me talk about Falco Holsters for a couple of years now. Absolutely love these things. They're handmade quality. And I can't reach around the studio without grabbing one. Everybody on the audio side, sorry. But for the video side, look, these things are great. They really are my everyday carry. I actually switched out my everyday carry holster for a different one because I put my TRL 7 sub back onto my P365 XL because I was testing another product. So I really do have a lot of these things. I love them. And I think you're going to love them too. At Falco, they can build a holster for every gun, any budget, without sacrificing quality. If you use the link down below, a small portion of what you buy is going to come back to the channel so I can help bring you additional stuff that you're looking for. And if you use the checkout code Banshee, you'll save 10%. So not only do you help the show out, but you save money. I mean, that's an ultimate win right there. The other company is Ammo Squared. Look, it's time to really, really start stacking up on ammo. I mean, things are getting kind of weird out there. So you're going to want to make sure you have ammo. Buying online makes sense. But buying online and getting, well, basically free storage makes even more sense. Go check out Ammo Squared. If you use the link down below, they're going to give you $20 of free ammo. I mean, free ammo. Why would we not get free ammo? Use that link down below. Now look, I have a channel. We talk about gun building, right? I mean, I have product reviews and things like that. But my true passion really is gun building. If you listen to last week's podcast where I had Kyle from Anderson Manufacturing on, we talked about a little bit about, you know, gun building and the gun building community. It's really why I started this channel. I love taking things apart and putting them back together. At the time, I was in FFL. I was doing Cerakote work. And look, there was crappy videos out on the internet, even YouTube, about how to take apart and put your guns back together. So I started making them. Now, what's funny is I think about my content now versus when I first started. And it's kind of funny because I kind of cringe at the first videos, but they're still doing good. I mean, I have a Glock disassembly and reassembly video out on YouTube. It's got over 230,000 views. And, you know, it's a good video. Don't get me wrong. It really is a good video. But I've grown as a content creator. And I cringe at looking at that video because I would do that video different now. And what's funny is I'm going through this metamorphosis of my content as it is. And I think about the way I did that video then versus what I would do it now versus how would I do it in probably another 2 years, because I'm moving through a different phase of content creation. And it's funny to think about this stuff. We grow as people. And this is why I want to talk about the gun builder community. These are people who have decided to take their, I don't want to say expertise, but their love for, you know, for firearms. I mean, for the love of guns, right? I mean, that's the name of the podcast. They're taking their love for this industry to the next level by making their own guns or doing their own DIY gunsmithing. You know, I have right here is one of my P365s here. This is my P365 with the Dawn slide from Lone Wolf and a Crimson Trace red dot. You can start that simple, right? Let's change a slide out. Let's put a red dot on it. You don't need to go crazy. Just start doing upgrades. And once you start doing upgrades, it becomes a snowball effect. Well, okay, great. I did this upgrade. What can I upgrade now? Maybe you have an AR. You'll start upgrading AR. You start putting free flow tubes. I mean, I've got a lot of videos about doing free flow tubes. One of them sitting right back there on the Hang AR. It's that is the gridlock. That was actually kind of a fun one. I have another video of the gridlock coming up. It'll be coming out this week. It just depends on what's going on with life again. But you start doing this stuff, you start doing upgrades, you start learning how these things work and what you like. And it means that you don't have to do or live with boring guns, right? I mean, we just start something. Just start somewhere. Now, I realize gun building is not for everyone, right? Some people are just not interested. That's okay. I really don't care, but I really want more people jumping in with this stuff. It's fun. I look at my career. So I do cybersecurity work, and I've been in IT, over 28 years now. And one of the things with my day job is that work that I do today is typically gone within a couple of years. So I think of, you know, all the work that I did back, when I went back to my first IT job, that company got bought out. That network didn't exist even a year after I had left that job because they had been bought out and they just got torn out. So things that I do don't stick around. I mean, that's just the nature of my day job. But if I build a gun, the gun's around. That's why I like doing things. Because, you know, in my personal life, I want to build things that last, especially since I'm kind of in a consumer market, right? IT's a consumer market. You buy stuff, it's there, it has a shelf life, and it's gone. Just in the last year of my day job, there's things I've done. I've torn other people's work out that has been, you know, that were there before me. And, you know, I erased their legacy. Some of it really did need to be erased. But that's the thing is we start building these firearms. And then if you have families, you pass them down, right? I have gun restoration content. There's some new content coming out. I'm working on a new thing. Actually, behind me on the bench there is I was filming before I recorded this is the next version of Edge, Extreme DIY Gunsmithing, where I'm building a gun. But you could build a gun and pass it down. Now, I realize that the current Biden administration is really trying to kill that, right? And they're trying to kill everything that they can with firearms. But what's the ultimate FU to the system? Is doing what they don't want you to do. There's nothing illegal with building guns. There is some things about building 80%, depending on where you're at, depends on whether it's legal or not. And I'm not even talking about the 80%. I'm just talking about, hey, let's take a receiver. Let's put the trigger group in. Let's put the whole fire control into it. Let's barrel some actions. This is, and that's just rifles. This is not even talking about pistols, right? So it's fun. It's fun to pick these things out. This particular rifle build, I've had the action, almost a year before this video even comes out. I mean, it's funny, I think about, where I was talking about my content style change, this video a year ago would have been completely different. I'm really happy with the way this new content's going. But that's going to be a rifle that's going to be around for a long time. Not only is it going to be around for a long time, but there's going to be a video on the build of it. There's probably going to be videos on the upgrade of that rifle. I mean, that's how far ahead I'm thinking about this rifle, is there's probably going to be some changes to that rifle in the future for another video. So where I'm really going with this stuff, talking about, my job where it's a consumer, it's a consumer economy with where I work. It's also a consumer economy with really the way we live. We don't produce anymore. I mean, there's been memes and stuff like that that I put out there on social media about, building and lasting legacies. Really, this is the time to do it. I mean, build a skill. You have no idea about building skills of what you can do. I never was really going to build guns before. We had a truck. I tore a transmission out of a truck and built. I had no idea. I'm not a mechanic. I found a manual and it walked you through it. I mean, literally, I tore this thing apart in our garage. I had cardboard everywhere. I took a Sharpie and it was like, I tore the part out of the transmission, put it onto the cardboard, took the Sharpie, kind of circled around it, and it's like one. This was step one. And that's all I did. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that was step one. When I first started doing disassembly and reassembly, I did the exact same thing on firearms. It was a Beretta. I remember doing that. And it was, I took a piece of paper, I took Scotch tape, I tore the gun apart. Each thing I did, I put it on there. I literally Scotch taped the part to the paper. One, two, three. Don't be afraid. I mean, just, you've got to learn, you got to jump in and just do something, but you don't have to jump in the deep end. You can start with, like I said, change out a slide, install a red dot, just do something, become just a little more independent. Really, no way out there knows this. I'm gonna let you in with this. There's a podcast that I've been thinking about. There are very few people know about this. There's another podcast that I've been thinking about. The title is The Undependent. I struggled with this. I wanted to be the Independent Podcast or the Independence Podcast or something like that. But we can never really truly be independent. That's why I say it's the Undependent Podcast. It means we're not really relying on the system as much. We always need to rely on something. You always need help. That's why I do the videos I do, is so that way, I mean, it's my way of helping you, right? Here's your disassembly and reassembly. Here's how to do this. Here's how to do that. Here's how to do this upgrade. So I don't know. I may or may not do that podcast. It's tough keeping one podcast going, let alone having two. But be independent, right? When a system is overburdened, I mean, think about anything. And I know I'm going way off topic here, but I'm going to loop back around. Think about when a system's overrun. Think about when a hurricane comes in. It takes a lot of resources to keep that thing, keep society going, keep people fed, water, things like that. Well, the people who prepared, not even going into prepping, I mean, prepare, even the federal government who I'm going to say, we don't want to listen to a lot of the time. Even they get, you know, a broken clock is correct twice a day. Even they say that you should be prepared for 72 hours. The people who are prepared for 72 hours, they're not a burden on the immediate needs, right? So looping this back around, having a skill. You're not a burden on anything, on a system, right? I'm thinking about where I live and going to a gunsmith right now. They're backlogged. They're way backlogged. I had to get work on a barrel. I even have problems getting work on a barrel. Even the manufacturer didn't want to work on this barrel because they're backlogged. So thinking about being independent, being able to do things yourself. There's limited things that I can do with a barrel. This was a rifle barrel. But I have some resources. I can work on this barrel. I didn't want to, right? I just wanted to just give it to somebody else and let them deal with it. Mostly because they have all the tools. I mean, I can get the tools and it just, economics and time and want, you know, and the want being is I want it done by someone else. But being thinking independent is load ourselves. Let's figure it out. Let's get it done. Let's have fun doing it, right? I mean, we should be having fun doing these builds. Otherwise, why are we doing it? I mean, yes, we're doing it for learning a skill, for the sense of pride, but learning a skill and sense of pride, that can be fun as well, right? I mean, it might suck while you're doing it, but at the end, it's kind of fun that you have that. I did this. I showed it off. I have something that I can pass off to my kids, my grandkids, a buddy of mine, a friend, whatever, you know, when I pass away. One of the things I have is that, you know, I have videos of it too. I can pass off that knowledge to everybody. Be independent. Help people, other people be independent. Going through that whole gunsmithing backlog, because I have skills, I have tools, I have access to other tools to work on that barrel. I'm not being a burden on these gunsmiths that are backlog. I'm not being a burden on the people who can't do it themselves. Gun building has so many avenues for it. I mean, I just talked about fixing a barrel. That's repair. Gun building can lead you into the repair. Repair kind of leads you into gun building. It's all kind of the same thing. There's a lot of knowledge out there. And, you know, when I say I really do want people to build guns, I really do. I want you to work on this stuff. You also help an industry when you do that. Because we start seeing things happen in an industry. I think back when Glock first came out. Well, I say Glock first. I mean, I was a real little kid. But I think about, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, that time frame. And I just remember, man, Glock did not like aftermarket parts. What's so funny is that it's the gun that drove aftermarket parts, because, well, I mean, it was revolutionary in its time, but being revolutionary, they're also short-sighted too. I mean, when I turned 21, I went out and bought a Glock 17, literally on my 21st birthday. And I'm very appreciative of that gun because it took me into competition. Really, it took me into upgrades, because as great as a Glock is, let's face it, a Glock could be better, right? I mean, otherwise, there wouldn't be all these aftermarket companies out there with parts. The patent to the Glock Gen 3 expired. We got a ton of Gen 3 Glocks that are not Glocks. I mean, I remember joking around, this is probably about 10 or 15 years ago, that you can build a Glock without any Glock parts in it. I mean, that was 10 or 15 years ago. I was joking around about that. Companies are now manufacturing Glocks where they're not Glocks, right? I mean, we heard last week about the Kyger from Anderson. You have the PSA Dagger. There's so many of them out there. And then you can build it too. So this is what I'm saying about, you know, when you start building and customizing, you're telling an industry, this is what I like. Stop building ugly guns. Let me face it. A Glock is an ugly gun. They just are, right? But then we start doing, you know, lightning cut slides and ported barrels. I mean, going back to, you know, right here on the 365 where I put this Dawn slide on. I mean, it's got some lightning cuts into it. It's got some, you know, different aesthetics to it. It looks better than this SIG slide. This starts telling SIG, this is what we like when they start seeing things out there. Now, SIG, with their whole fire control module, kind of embraced the aftermarket, right? I mean, really, if I go deep enough, I can build a SIG. I can build a P320 without any SIG parts at all. Now, it goes into 80% manufacturing and stuff like that. But even SIG realized that they needed to embrace the aftermarket industry. Because what did they do? They turned around and said, hey, we've got this concept of the fire control unit. It's a great concept. You know what? We're just going to sell fire control units. We can sell you the whole gun, but we'll also just sell you fire control units. We built them. It's all SIG. And you do whatever you want. And you want a different, you want a Wilson grip or a P80 grip or Icarus. I mean, there's so many grips out there. Whatever slide you want, whatever, we don't care. But here's the FCU. Have fun. Even SIG embraced building. Now, they're still building the fire control unit for you. So I wouldn't say they're really embracing building. They're embracing customization. You showing off what you want. And what's so funny is they're still making money off of it, right? They probably make more money selling FCUs than the whole gun. And there it is. They're starting to do the same thing with the 365. There's so many 365 aftermarket things out there. SIG embraced this because they knew that people wanted customization. Something that Glock fought against for so long. Even now, I still think they fight against it. But you're telling the industry where you want it to go. By buying a gun, customizing it, building your own gun, showing it off on social media, you're not bragging. You're not saying, hey, this is me. This is, I can do this. Well, you kind of are. But you're also saying, this is what I like. And gun companies are paying attention to that stuff. I know I keep on coming back to Anderson Manufacturers. I mean, it was last week, and it was a great time on that podcast. I really did. The before chat and the after chat was absolutely amazing. But even Anderson's like, show off your build. Tell us, you know, not even tell us, show us what you've done with our product. I'm sure that's going to come back around because they're going to pay attention to that. You're telling that manufacturer, this is what I like. And then they can embrace it with new products, right? I mean, really, you're involved in product development and you don't even know about it when you do these activities. So it's a lot of fun, guys. It really is. I want everybody have fun, right? I mean, shooting's fun. I absolutely love shooting. I love building. I have my two Zen places. My two Zen places are number one on the firing line. when I am out shooting, the world disappears from me. And trust me, I have a very stressful job. But it's my happy place, right? I mean, I'm sitting, it's me, it's the gun, it's the ringing of steel, it's the falling of targets, it's the recoil, it's the essence of shooting, it's the trigger pull, all that stuff. You guys might think I'm nuts, but it really is all about that. I enjoy that. You know, hey, look, this shot didn't go where I wanted. Let me adjust my grip. Let me adjust the way I squeeze the trigger. If I get a new product out there, like I was out with Elfman Tactical's Apex on my 308. And it was really kind of relearning how to shoot with that trigger because it was so different. It was such a different trigger in an AR. And the enjoyment of it, it's just like learning the new trigger pull. Is this trigger pull's a lot better than a factory trigger pull or any other drop-in trigger that I had. It really, trust me guys, it's a great product. I really do like this trigger. It's that essence on the firearm. Now, the second place that my Zen is right here on the bench is working on guns. I got right here a slide. I mean, it's a Glock slide. It's just speaking of, aftermarket Glock slides, it's got lightning cuts and it's got a cutout for a red dot, but something else was done to this slide that you guys will find out later. I'm going to rediscover shooting a Glock. This is a 19 frame right here. But I know how to shoot a Glock. I can run a Glock. I've run a Glock in competition. I've run, Palmer 80s and aftermarkets. This product, I played with it, shot. Absolutely love it. It's going to make me get back into the essence of shooting again with a Glock. You never know. I might end up going back to a Glock frame pistol. Now, the reason why I went from Glock to 6, being an IT, look, carpal tunnel's a thing. My hands are not as strong as they used to be. Next month, I turn 52. My hands are weak. I've been banging on a keyboard since 1980. In third grade, we started learning basic programming at a school that I went to. They were really, we had computers in the classrooms in 1980. So they were that far advanced in technology. But that took a toll on us, right? We didn't have ergonomics back then. That's why I went to SICK. A Glock is not the most ergonomic gun in the world. It's like holding on to a 2x4. If it's in 45 caliber, it's holding on to a 4x4. So I went to SIG for the ergonomics. I like SIG. I really do like SIG. But I don't know. SIG has been annoying the crap out of me lately. The P320, as much as I love the P320, I really do love the P320. If you give me a Glock, I can run the crap out of a Glock. I can run a Glock way better than I can run a P320. I have more trigger time behind a Glock. Now, with this product I'm going to be playing with, might push me back to Glock. Now, since ergonomics is still a thing, but I mean, we'll take a look at this. This is the Polymer 80 grip. Going back to the aftermarket is now telling us how Glock should have made their gun. Now, there's certain things they can't fix, right? But they can adjust the grip angle a little bit. These are a little more 1911-ish than ever. I mean, these companies are doing great figuring out grips. These are now starting to get ergonomic enough that I can shoot them comfortably. So I might go back to a Glock frame. I just don't know whose Glock frame I'll go back to. Everybody seems to keep building Glock 19s. I got big hands. I know people who have even bigger hands. That a Glock 19 frame is just not great. I mean, right there, you can see my pinky does not quite fit on this frame. Now, I can put a funnel on this and help it and make it work out, but just give me a Glock. Give me a Glock 17. Give me a full-size frame. So anyways, that's what I'm saying, is that the market has told, market demand is telling people how to make guns. Start telling the market what you want. Show the market what you want. Be vocal about it. Say, hey, look, this product is great. This product sucks. This product has made my shooting better. This product makes the gun feel better in my hand. Whatever it is, this product just makes me feel better about being a gun owner. It can be as simple as that. I don't care. But start your journey, because it really is a journey. Start your journey, start building things, start making things happen for you. Because you don't know what you're going to inspire in someone else. Someone may take a look at what you've done with a gun, you know, the modifications or the build or whatever, and go, that's cool, but what if we did this? And they put their spin on it. And it's really cool to see this happen inside this industry. I really do love gun building. It really does. Because it's my second Zen. Right? My first Zen is a firing line. Second Zen is my bench. Lately, it's been actually really the opposite. My first Zen's been the bench, and the second Zen's the fire line, because it's harder for me to get out to go shooting anymore. But once I build something, I got to shoot it to make sure it works, it's safe, and all that. So if I have these Zens, I think other people out there have them too. Just get involved in gun building, get involved in the modifications, get involved in the aftermarket. If you have a product that you like, make sure you tell that company. Your product you don't like, make sure you tell that company. There's a product you're not gonna see. I bought it with my own money. It came in, it was an awful product. And I told the company I bought it from, right? Because the manufacturer has two dealers. I bought it from the one dealer. God, it was bad. It was bad. And what's funny is it would have been a really cool series of videos that I was going to create off of this. It was a grip module for the P320 that is modular. Yeah, a modular grip module. So such a cool concept. Bad product. I mean, the people I bought it from, they're like, well, we love these things. They work great. I'm like, I showed them my pictures, and they're like, ooh. And I had to send the product back, and then it was taking a while to get the replacement product. And finally, I was like, look, I'm done. My patience has expired on this. This is over a month of having this bad product, trying to work through it. I go, I don't see this as a valid product. I want my money back. They came back with, well, if we gave you a little bit of money off, we'll still send you a good one. And when it comes in, I'm like, nah, I'm done. And God, they gave me up to 25% off, and I got it on a sale too. So they were going to give me the sale price plus 25% off. And I still was like, no. Done. This product is terrible. Has a lot of potential, but this product right now, the way it is terrible. I mean, that was going back to the seller. The seller was working with the manufacturer. That manufacturer, I mean, you know, that seller is going to be mad at the manufacturer because they lost the sale. And I was very vocal about it with them. I was also very vocal about their lack of customer service. And this is a company I bought from before. I don't know if I'll buy from them ever again. That's yet to be seen. But that, I mean, between a bad product and bad customer service, it was just too much for me. So I got my money back. It's going to go into something else. That money is going to go into something else. That money was reserved for buying a product to bring onto the channel to show people stuff. I probably should have done a video with it the way it is. But I honestly thought that I was going to do a video. I took pictures. I do have pictures of it. because they wanted pictures before I sent it back. But I honestly was going to do this whole thing where I was going to do the video of it. It was just taking too damn long. And I was just getting upset because I had to keep saying, hey, what's going on? What's going on? They weren't engaging with me. I mean, there was one time I'd sent them an email and it took them a week to get back to me. And they only got back to me. I mean, literally in the email that I sent to them was, my patience has expired because I think I still wouldn't hear back from you unless I nagged you. So that company was put on notice by me that I was mad at them as much as the product they sold. Now, the product they sold, it's not their fault, right? I mean, a manufacturer made that. I get it. I think I ran into a problem that manufacturer, I think I ran into a quality control problem that manufacturer didn't know about. And that's why it was taking so long. But you still need to engage with me. Even as the seller, you need to engage with me. Hey, look, we're still working on this. We're still, you'll just ghost me. So anyways, go start working on your guns. Gunsmith tools are way more affordable now. There's a lot of them out there. I mean, you guys see on my channel, I mean, Real Avid is a thing here in this shop. I love their tools. I love the concepts that they come up with. But I mean, if you can't afford that, I mean, go to Harbor. I have a crap load of Harbor Freight punches. I do. I mean, they're cheap. They break. I don't care. I mean, they're so cheap. I'll just go buy another set. Some of them are even got lifetime warranties to them. Are they the greatest things? No, they're not. But on the other side is that, and I've talked to Real Avid about this with their punches, their punch set. I like their punch set. I do, but I told them I need starter punches. I need shorter punches because eventually those are going to bend. You know, they get the nice long punches. Great. The reason why we have starter punches that are like half the length or a quarter of the length is because when you have a stuck punch with that long shaft, you can bend them. That's why we have the short ones, so you don't bend them. So I can start with a starter punch. I broke punches that I've just ground right off to make starter punches off of. I have Brownell starter punches too. Absolutely love them. Lifetime warranty to Brownell stuff. But gunsmith, you don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, it's funny. I'm looking at the screen here and I'm seeing right there, there's an orange handle. I know that's a Harbor Smith. All right, Harbor Smith. Wow. It's 6 a.m. on Saturday. Not a lot of sleep. And I've been filming already. That's a Harbor Freight tool right up there. It's funny. The first time I had Aaron Mahalik on the podcast from Throom, when we got done, she saw that orange handle. I mean, it wasn't there. It was somewhere behind me at the time. But she goes, that's a Harbor Freight tool. She goes, I know it is because we have those in the shop for cleaning out the molds. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. That's a Harbor Freight tool. I don't care. Yeah, it works. That thing works. And that's just a pick set. It's great. I mean, look, you don't need to go out and buy the latest, greatest, most expensive thing. Just start with what you can afford and work your way up. Because if you start with what you can afford, you can, especially in something that you don't know about yet, you can learn what you like and you don't like. I mean, I don't like buying things twice, but trust me, I have at least four different companies' punches. And I know what I like. I know what I like about this one over that one. That's why I told Real Avid about the punches. I like this, but I wish you would do this. And, giving them those things. This is what I'm talking about, the constant feedback. Tell them what you like, what you don't like. You never know what you'll get in the future if you start telling them. But start with what you can afford. Don't have to go nuts. I mean, I'm looking at the files back here. Those are expensive files. They are. I bought them from Brownells. They're great files. That's what I use for working on 1911s and other things. I had a cheap set of files before that because I learned what I liked, what I didn't like. Then when I had the money to upgrade, that's what I upgraded to. You'll learn your mistakes on cheaper stuff. There's a lot of cheap stuff out there. Like I said, look, Harbor Freight is not the best stuff in the world. It's not. But it's good enough. I mean, if I've got to buy a tool that I'm going to use like once or twice, and that's about it, I have no problems with going out to Harbor Freight and buying it. I know it's not going to hold up as well as something else that's name brand, but if I'm going to need to use it once or twice, what do I care? Right? I'll throw it out. No big deal. It pains me to throw it out because, again, I talked earlier about being a consumer. That's being a consumer. But it's also being smart about my money, right? I'm not going to go out and buy something for $150 that I'm going to use once. So think about the stuff. Think, you know, get started. You don't have to get started. You don't have to spend a lot of money. There's a video that's been rolling around in my head for a while. And I'll probably do it, I don't know, probably another month or so, talking about, you know, your starter tools, what you need to get involved in this stuff, and try to get more people involved. I really do want to get more people in. If you do a build, man, totally tag me. Let me know. There's people that comment on my YouTube videos. They're like, hey, man, I just did this. It's my first build and all that stuff. Awesome, man. Send me a picture, man. You know, email me a picture. I get pictures sent to me, and I love seeing that stuff. I love seeing what people, I don't care if it's the most basic gun in the world. I want to see it because I'm happy that someone did it. They broke out of their shell. They did something new, and you never know what they're going to do next. There might be a one and done. It's okay. It's all good. But they might do something really amazing later. So guys, look, I'm going to wrap this thing up. I've been talking for about 40 minutes here. I really do appreciate you guys being on this journey. I mean, I've been doing this, 6-7 years now. And I really appreciate your guys' support. And the reason why I can do this is because of you guys. You guys give me the encouragement to keep going. You like the content. I'm helping you out. You tell me that stuff. They really keep that feedback coming back to me. But what I can really use right now is your support to continue to make additional content. I have a new redesign of the webpage. I'm working on that now. I'm looking at the other monitor there, looking at all the open tabs of all the stuff that I got to do. I threw out the webpage, threw out the old one. I just got so pissed off at it. I just went, I'm done, deleted it, didn't even back it up. That's how upset I was with the old. New design is so much better, but I'm still putting the old content up. And I'm putting the old content up, but it's going to change because, well, I'm preparing for something that may or may not happen. I don't know, but I want to make sure that there was one place you can go for all this content. There's some things I can't show on YouTube. You can go to my webpage to see it. It'll eventually all be up there. Go to that webpage. Even if you just set it as your homepage, you help me out. You help me out for free because what happens when you go to that webpage, yeah, there's ads that pop up, right? And I get a little bit of revenue. I want you to help me out, but I want to make sure that it's not really costing you anything. If you want to make a donation, totally make a donation. Really appreciate those too. But when you see the webpage, affiliate links bring in money. They're not going to cost you one penny more than you are already going to spend. If you go to, you know, www.trb.fyi, it's my webpage, top right-hand corner there, you'll see Hold My Guns. Hold My Guns has a permanent spot right there. Don't make any money off of that, but it's an awesome organization. right below that is the Amazon logo. You click on that, it's going to take you right over to Amazon. And then anything you buy in that session, a small portion comes back to me so I can continue to bring you content. And that's all I really ask. Later on, I'm going to have all the other affiliate links and banners up on the webpage. And you go there before you go shopping, you just click that link. It's the same thing. Click that link, small portion of what you buy comes back to me. That's it. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And you help me bring you additional content. With that, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a supporter. Thank you for helping me become a better content creator. And well, thank you for helping me get through life, especially when times are tough. Thanks for listening. Hope you're staying safe out there and look forward to talking to you again soon.